This is Colourful Radio.
Special guest today in the place. It's all about Miss Jackie Graham. Hello, 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 hello.
Hello, darling. This is the sound of summer, what, for 1985 or 6, was it? This one?
Okay.
Round and around.
Okay, well, see, this is what I love about technology right now, because there ain't no instrumental in this, right? But that's what I love about this. See, I've got it looped on here. That's why you can hear it going playing.
Oh,
so I made the loop
while you... It just sounds like... That's what I'm trying to know when we're driving down again. Oh, it's chucking it down the rain, but it just sounds like summer, doesn't it?
Where did you guys come from today? Did you actually come from home to here today?
We came from the Midlands, yeah.
Wow. Actually, just met... about 2 weeks ago, I played at Soul in the Algarve. For Soul Network.
Uh-huh.
And we was all in Portugal. I met a whole bunch of people from up north who came for that thing. It was like pure 80s.
Really?
Instead of a weekend, it was a whole week. Yeah, so.
And I was there in spirit.
There you go. And we was a tech in the spirit. Yeah. Yeah, believe me. We had a great time out there. So, by the way, all the people who I emailed this morning, don't loaf, all right? Because if you don't come back to me, you will not get your villa for next year. And they've only got 400. They've only got 100 left already.
Oh, really?
For next year. Yeah, they've already, we've already got our 5, but then I needed some more. So, Viv, I'll talk to you later on after the show.
I need a break myself.
People, you need to come back to me quick time. All right, so, madame, long career. I hear that there's, have you done it yet? Or have you got an autobiography?
Oh, yes, that's in the process, yes. For later on this year, early spring, if not.
Why
don't you write it? What? Have I got to tell anybody? Oh, sorry. Dave. Yes, I'm learning how to be in a studio as well.
Very funny.
No lie. But there's things.
I need that book to come out because my two great loves is music and reading. So, I can listen to your great sits while I read it. So,
Bless. Well, I hope you're going to find it interesting.
All right. Well, what we need to do is we need to take a break. So we can do what we need to do. Take the break. Mm-hmm. Come back. And then we're going to play Round and Round. It's David J on Colourful, people.
Colourful Radio.
I love technology.
Oh, a press of a button.
Yeah.
And you just hear
well,
you've
got to hit it right.
You've got
to hit it right. It takes practice. You've got to hit it right. You know what I'm saying? So let's talk about this record, Round and Around. I love this record. Probably Love Under the Moonlight is my two favourites.
You remember that?
Love Under the Moonlight. Oh, wallpaper scraping music, people.
Yep.
We will be playing that later. It's David J. Alongside special guest today on Colourful Radio, Miss Jackie Graham.
You're going to be bringing memories to me, let alone me to everybody else, darling.
Listen, it's great when you talk to people because you're obviously doing newer stuff and you're doing stuff that is more popular.
Yeah.
There's certain records that are going to be popular in a certain...
Oh, I'm telling you.
...genre, certain type of people, etc. So we're going to bring some of that today.
Oh.
So let's talk about this record. When was this record made?
1985.
1985.
I think it's 5, was it? The album, because it came from the... did it come from the Heaven Knows album?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was 1985 when it was recorded.
I'm trying to remember, Heaven Knows album, that's the one with the kind of...
Big face.
Brown... Is that the one with the light brown?
It's like a pinky, a peachy colour.
That's thing. Right. Border.
Just the face.
You with the... Yes, and the white background. Yes, yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
I have one word. Hair.
Hiya. Oh my god, yeah. I was very untamed back then. I haven't changed my teeth.
I noticed that the hair is a little bit more like, you know, it's together these days.
Yeah.
So this record, Derek Bramble. What's happened to Derek Bramble?
My darling, I know anything. ask me a question. Sorry, I'm going into one. But I haven't seen Derek or heard from him since late 80s.
Okay.
Because left the record company and them said, bye Jack. So, you left me through.
Okay,
darling. All right, let's go. But you know, they know because they gave me some hits. They gave me some hits, darling.
Yeah,
and it stood the test of time.
Oh, I love. I still love this record.
I was a vehicle.
So. Okay, so Saf, how did you get started?
Oh Lord, going back now because I don't know if everybody knows, but I come from Birmingham.
I think we kind of figured that.
Okay. So back then, just doing things at school and, little competitions and so on. When I left school, there was an ad in our local Birmingham Evening Mail,
mm-hmm.
our local paper, and it said soul singer wanted. Now, my boyfriend, my hubby, we went to school together. So once he saw the ad in the paper and got me this audition. So that's what happened. I went then for this audition. Met up with a local band and we were doing cover stuff and stuff. I got picked for it, so we started to do cover stuff. So I was gigging and known as a vocalist, Birmingham girl, for a good, I don't know, 10 years maybe. And in between that, I would do sessions and stuff like that. So, hence, you know, I did things with UB40 and I did...
I was just going to say, because that's your that's you guys' town.
Yeah. So home talent and stuff, and I did all that. But how I got spotted was, I was doing a session for a jazz funk band. Hmm. And they were an instrumental band, and they'd written this song, and they were dealing with some people in London. And from that, they said, you know, do this vocals. But they must have played them the track that I did with them, the vocal one. They did some showcase gigs in London, obviously without me, because I was still working with my other band that I was, you know, a resident with, sort of thing. Did the song, they called me down and then said, you know, the people in London said, we would like to see you with, a front person, because I did the session for them. Came out, and I was doing places like Ronnie Scott's and stuff with boys.
Oh.
Uh-huh. So that's really where I got noticed, officially.
Okay. Next move from there, so this band, they do the showcase. Do you get signed from there, or is it just more showcases?
Well, I did a couple of three showcases because they wanted to see, you know, in different sort of venues and stuff. and they liked the band. They still wanted to do something with the band, but thought that I had, a little bit more to offer. And it's a big, big band, I have to say. So they thought I had something more to offer. Put me in the studio. This is when then I met, you know, Derek and David and all the kind of people there.
Yeah.
Did this session, did some stuff with them. They were... And, you know, tightening it around to record companies and stuff. Well, I got picked up then by EMI. But I think about 1984, we're into 84 now. And that's how it came about. And I got the deal. But, you know, to be fair, even though I did all these things with EMI, I never really, I don't think they quite got it, to be truthful. Because, you know, EMI was a sort of a rock and pop orientated record label. So even though I had things like Round and Around, you know, and the Heaven Knows, they honestly didn't know what to do with me. And there, by the grace of God, though, you know, DJs like yourself and white labels and stuff like that, and the clubs and stuff like that were playing the stuff, and everybody was going for it.
Girl, I remember, what was that program? Was it the kind of R&B equivalent of Top of the Pops them times there?
We did things like Soul Train and
that was, yeah.
Jeffrey Daniels and them. Oh, baby boy. every now and again, we still cross paths and stuff like that. But yeah, to be able to do that, you know, because I was obviously hearing about the Soul Train, the American one.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, that's fab. But then, because there was, apart from Top of the Pops, like you said, there wasn't really any outlet for music and for, you know, British.
I'm trying to remember what was the one that Normski was the something.
Oh, yes.
Was it called Dance Wicked or something? I can't remember.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of them
Normski,
in that time. That time period. Well, he DJs now. He's a very big house
DJ.
Nice.
Yeah.
In that period, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to bring out of you how we used to have to do it, because there weren't no internet them times there.
No, you had to
slave.
Talk. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, for me to trek and just come from the Midlands, hence the reason I stayed in the Midlands. I did a lot of things down here in London, but it was easier for me to go back home than it was to cross London. So we used to get the calls to do all the clubs, all the hip clubs and all the do you remember the cruises? Steve Walsh?
Oh, yeah.
Like Steve Walsh?
Yeah, R.I.P. to Steve Walsh. Yeah, the all-dayers and the weekenders.
Yeah, all of those
all-nighters,
kind of things.
Yeah.
And we were called down to do that sort of thing. So it was really sluggy, trekking up and down the country, really.
So, Radio London Soul Night Out at Hammersmith Palais, the place in Kilburn.
Oh, yes, you know, yes, because this is your territory.
I used to be there, man. What happened?
It's your territory. You know, yeah. They called me and I said, yeah, come in.
Yeah.
And I used to go.
Yeah.
And people were good to me too. And I'm still good to me too. You know, so I had a great... thing is, though, you know, you're going through it and they're calling you and you've been pulled left, right and centre. And plus I remember I had a family as well at the time. Mm. So it's like, I'm not being a party pooper, but I have to go back and do the sandwiches for school lunch and tea. You know what I mean? But I was still having...
Keep it real.
I still was having a great time. But, you know, to the extent where I didn't really sort of... I embraced it because I think I only had one shot.
Yeah.
And you think, well, you know, you're going through all this and I'm thinking, ooh, and everybody was my friend. You know, I learned later that a lot of it is, you know...
it's false, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying to you? What's the word I'm looking for? Acquaintances.
Yeah.
You know? Because once you're out of Vogue, then people don't know you.
They ain't calling you no more. We know
but,
how
you know,
it goes.
There's a lot of them that have still stuck, you know, stuck with each other, and we cross paths, and we got so much to talk about and so much to tell, and then, you know, the real world. I used to call them the once-a-time people. That's what my granny's saying, the once-a-time people.
This is Colourful Radio.
So tell me all about Set Me Free. Who's the producer? How'd it come about?
Once again, it's a David Bramble track.
Okay.
Yeah, because like I said, it was him. We had sort of like a little team thing going on, and I very, very talented. And I think he liked all sorts of things, but I think his influence, I think at the time, was people like Shalimar.
Yeah.
You know, so he liked Hewitt's voice a lot, and I think a lot of that, because it was sort of. All was British soul. There was also some sort of rocky elements to some of the stuff that he was doing, which, you know, I'm an all-rounder. I like to. Soul bass is what I was brought upon. But Derek, he came up with some really good stuff. And I have to say, but he put me through my paces as well, because that's where your learning curve was, in the studio. Mm-hmm. Although, when I came out, everybody was thinking, oh, an overnight success, this girl's, you know, newcomer. No, darling, I was working for a good 10, 12 years before I got spotted. So, performing would go. Mm. I think, you know, but I was still learning. I was still learning then. I'm still learning now. So I never say that I don't learn. But he, studio-wise, that's when I think I really did learn my craft with Derek in the studio.
When it came down to learning in the studio, for instance, first thing, one of the hardest things, okay, and I make records myself, one of the hardest things, actually, I don't want to ball her out too much, but I was working with a young lady, and I said, we need to track the vocals. Mm-hmm. I've got a certain way I work. And I said to her, now we need to do the harmony. She said, I haven't practiced.
Oh,
what?
Bless.
Please.
But
I had to take a deep breath. And a 20-minute thing at longest took about 3 hours. We didn't get it finished because it was about, according to her, you sing louder and softer. No.
Oh,
so
okay.
What I'm trying to get at is there's a lot of things to learn. Could you automatically do harmonies?
Yes.
Or did you?
Yes, I do.
You just hear it.
You see, I don't know. God bless the talent that he's given me, right? Okay. So all I have is the voice, and I try to utilize that. But I was always singing at home with the records, especially the Jacksons, and, you know, Motown is where I'm coming from too, you know. So I was always, even now, it's an annoying habit, but I will always do a harmony to whoever's singing anything.
Well, see, that's the thing I like. You know? The most important thing in a record is not really the lead vocalist.
No.
It's going on in the background.
Give me the voices.
It's the background, because
the
if you can't, you know what I mean? Let's face facts. Mm. David Bowie, Mick Jagger, not the world's greatest singers, you know what I mean?
But
you
do a lot of some of David Bowie. Mm-hmm. Oh,
well, young Americans.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
Yeah, and
I love voices,
those things.
I love harmonies.
Those things are what make a good record.
It's a
great
sound, you know, with voices.
So when you make records now, mm-hmm. right? Do you still have do you take outside influences? As in, do you take other producers? Do you half
because
do it yourself?
I think
or?
Everybody you work with brings something to you.
Yeah.
Oh, you learn and you go. That's why I said I haven't stopped learning. I haven't stopped growing. So everybody I work with, whether it be, you know, musicians or especially producers, because I like direction.
Yeah.
And I'm open to direction. So, you know, if there's something I'm doing that you think, hey, can you just try it this way?
Yeah.
Give me it. And when it comes to harmonies, you know, I do the standard sort of, you know, thirds and fifths and stuff. Listen to me like I'm big boy. You know what I'm saying? I'm a no, you know. but I've been taught that you're doing a third. You automatically do the third and the fifth. I'm thinking, oh, is that what it is? Because I couldn't tell you, darling.
No.
You know, I don't know notes.
It's natural.
Okay, and I do that. But when you're doing the quirky harmonies, and that's when you know, direction coming. So I'm thinking, and sometimes you're in the headphones and you're singing away and thinking, and they've given you a harmony to do. I'm thinking, oh, I don't quite feel that one. Okay, and I hate to take, you know, to waste people's time. Okay, but they'll give you a harmony thinking, okay, no, you're gonna have to knock the rest of them out for me to then sing this particular one because it doesn't come. So, but when you then put it together, I'm thinking, oh, so you mean? Then can I forget it? No, you can lock me into it. No matter how many voices are going, I'm getting that harmony.
Yeah.
So I like that because I like to sing with voices. I like to sing with other people. So when I do backing vocals on a track, I sometimes, you know, you have to do them all yourself. But then there's other times I love when they bring in other vocalists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and to just to sing with people and to blend your voice to their voice.
Thicken the track, etc.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I love all that.
So speaking of other people, all right, we're going to get a break and when we come back, we're going to play you and Mr. David Grant.
Oh, okay.
All right. All right. Colourful Radio. Once again, if you just locked on for the very first time, thank you very much for tuning in. Shout out to Lorraine, who's all the way up in Newcastle. Hello, girl. She was out there with us in Portugal. And, yeah, I'm not going to lie. She was wasted, but so was we. So it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, when we was out there, we got this drink. There's a drink that I like. It's called Safari, okay? It is papaya and mango liqueur.
Ooh,
oh, my God. So I'm thinking, let me get some in the airport. And the airport never had none. By the way, can I just say old school style? Text sandwiches on the plane, all right? Because when we went to the airport, it was €13
Thank you
for a burger, chips and a drink. You're crazy.
Trust me. Trust me.
Billy sandwich at home.
I'm telling you, once you get past the airport business, you know, when you, but sandwiches is all right. You can take that, right? So yeah. make sure you take it. But when it comes to the drink and stuff, because they charge a whole heap of money.
Yeah, for real.
You know, and they don't send me business class no more, so I have to pay.
Hey, but you're still working.
You know.
You got your gates, yeah. So that means you're still working.
Oh, let me tell you, darling, you have to do what you got to do.
So, Dave, now your manager is actually your,
my hobby, yeah.
Your family, or your management is your family.
Yeah.
Okay, now we are
Went to school with my hobby, so we've been together since we were 14, 15.
Okay, we are getting some vibes here from one of the management in the studio. We need to talk about something, so we are going to go there.
Oh,
we are going to go there.
My baby
so
girl.
So what happened with Mr. David Grant, who, it's a while since I've spoken to him, ACLT or something, you know what I mean, because I used to talk to him, so I hardly ever see him now.
Yeah, no.
But David Grant, you guys used to sing together. Yes. Was it all Chris? And no, it probably wasn't.
Well,
but
I mean, I thought it was, and you know, you know, and he's a lovely, lovely man, but he's very showbiz, which, you know,
we've seen. actually the
know,
guy,
he's very good at
the guy who's on there, oh, what's his name? The guy who's the kind of headmaster type person on that program that he does.
The Fame Academy.
Yeah.
I don't, because I never used to watch them shows.
Okay. That guy is my boss. That guy is my boss. He's the boss of the other station I work for.
You must tell me who it is. Okay.
Yeah, in fact, we was in a meeting a couple of days ago with him giving a presentation. But anyway, so back to David. We'll talk about that off here.
Well, I mean, when I talked about doing that thing with the jazz funk band and stuff like that, hence the reason we did a couple of three showcases, because what happened was he was with Lynx at the time, David.
Okay.
And the management who was checking out the band, called the Medium Wave Band, saw us at the Ronnie Scott's, then said to David, because he managed sketches, the unit Lynx, said, you got to check this girl out, you know, whatever it is. So when I did another showcase gig down in London, then David came, and then Sketch came for the other, and we all got on well, and obviously I think Brian had to ask their permission if they could take me on. Take on, so that's the story on that bit. So we went into studios and he then became a solo artist and was doing okay, I think, you know. But we did the tracks together. And my manager now, Tony, my manager, he was always like the road manager thing. So we always did it as a family, even when Natalie was little. So we, you know, I always had the little one carted with me. And I kept it real, because, you know, your feet was on the ground. So you come off stage and everybody, like, you know, you know, and you're having a good time.
Change the nappies.
You know that. Never mind that. I was too still sucking at me.
Sorry. Steady on,
so,
please.
So Dad would then take over, you know. But what I'm saying is, but that's how it was for me. And it's like, you know, I didn't play the showbiz game, I think, to a point. But I was so fascinated by it all. So, you know, but and it was good, I suppose, coming onto the scene and being with David.
Yeah.
Because he was already there and he knew the run-ins and stuff like that, and, you know, what cameras to look at. And so I was oblivious to everything, and I thought they were my family.
Yeah.
So, you know, Brian, David and Derek were like, you know, Natalie's uncles and stuff like that, you know, honorary uncles. But when push comes to shove, darling, it's a different story. You know, they're very business-minded and very business-like. And what I would take as, no, that's not very fair, it's business. So, you know, I ain't hating on nobody.
Yeah.
But, you know, things went on and things, you know, that I think, no, that wasn't really fair and that's not really right. And, you know, how do you sleep at night?
It wasn't wrong. It's just morally wrong.
Legally
it's not wrong, but morally
wrong. The same things
that's
going on with the politicians now, with their finances and things like that, you know. So there's a lot of that going on. And back then I thought, oh, well, you know, I was getting, I was earning, I thought, decent money, but they were earning a little bit more than me. And it was me that they wanted.
But you can see her face when she said it. Well, a little bit more than me.
Well, they put it there. They were driving around in Porsches, all three of them. Okay, and I was coming down on the train and using the bus, and I did have a little jalopy that when we did used to use it to come down from the Midlands to come all the way down here. If it was raining, we were praying it wouldn't rain because it would leak through the windscreen. You hear me? So that's really what I'm, you know, that's what I'm talking about. So I think, well, okay, I saw it go. Oh, is this how it's... But it got to the stage where I thought, mm-mm. Well, it wasn't me. It was Tony saying, you know, something ain't right. Mm. You need to now, because people are now focusing on me as an artist. And there's me thinking, no, it's David they want, really. It's not me. And it's, no, that's not the story. And it became apparent that, you know, but it got to a stage where if they wanted me, they had to have him.
Right. Because that's how you would run it.
No, that's how they run it.
They wanted it. Oh, dear.
So when I was getting, you know, approached to do things and it was just for me, or shows or whatever it may be, gigs and things like that, it meant that you can't have one without the other.
Right.
And it's not who they wanted.
Right.
Because it was me who was shining at that point, more so.
Yeah.
And I think it was a little bit like that. And I thought, oh, okay. But I never heard about this until way later when I've left the unit, that these people said, you know how long we've been trying to get hold of you? And we've been trying to this and we've been trying to that. And so...
Okay. Well, we'll talk about all that and the cruises and all sorts of stuff. You've got an album that's coming out in Japan. I've got a whole bunch of stuff now.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Nat has given me the CD, but it's very ghetto. Okay, I have no details. So you're going to have to come and listen to the track and tell me what they are.
Okay.
Because it's fine when I'm playing on my iTunes, but on the screen, it's not showing up what it is.
Okay, yes, there's technology in here, folks. Let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. So, next record.
Okay.
My all-time favourite Jackie Graham record, all right?
This is Colourful Radio.
And we will have to play this again and again. Love this record. Love this record.
You know something? I was just saying to Dave, everybody, that I never really listen to my stuff, apart from the hits and stuff, because I go, that's what they want me to do. But to hear this again, darling, you know, God bless Derek Bramble with all that went on. The man give me some stuff to do, and it just sounds wonderful.
All right, somehow we're going to have to coach you to say some of the stuff we've been talking about in the nicest possible way. You know what I mean? Because the other thing is, I always try to strive, and I'm sure you do because that's why you're still here, not to say anything bad about people. Don't do bad things.
Which means that,
you know, you...
Life's too short, baby.
You've gone on, you've carried on, and whatever bad has happened, you've just put it to one side and carried on. Mm. And, of course, the next question is, where is Derek Bramble? We don't know. So
no.
There you go. So there you go.
The last I heard, he was actually living in...
Hollywood Hills.
Yes, he was in California. So, you know who told me? Do you remember Jermaine Stewart? God love
We don't
that.
Have to take our clothes off.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jermaine was... he was a friend, let me tell you. Every now and again, no matter how long it was before you last saw him, he was always the same. Real people, okay? And it was he who told me. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story now. When he was over there, they were at a function together, and he said, yeah, obviously, Derek was there as well, in America somewhere, and he said, Jack and Tony, you know, I was talking to somebody, and is it Layla Hathaway?
Yeah.
Covered Heaven Knows?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Well, what Jermaine told us was that Derek has gone over there with my hits, my stuff, playing it to people, obviously, to which is okay, because he's the writer, composer, yeah, writer, and so on. So I said, well, that's cool. But he's telling them that they're demos. And Jermaine is then saying, no, you got to check this girl out. Her name's Jackie Graham. And she had a hit with it in the UK and other territories and stuff like that. And the stuff, things like that, and heaven knows, what he played in, it was a demo.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's, you know, so it's little things. I don't know. He was only a young lad. And then we were all young at that point. And, you know, when you're telling everybody that you're the best thing since sliced bread, you're saying, okay, hey, listen, I ain't hating it, but, you know, that's what went on behind the scenes.
Yeah, not good.
And I think, okay. But, you know, I thought whatever we did together, and whoever did well, we'd all benefit from it and so on. And we'd all, but it didn't really work that way. It was for yourself. And I do understand that to a point that, you know, when it's your turn, you got to go with it and you can't drag people behind you and, you know, let people hang on to your coattail. But And that's what was terrible, because he was like a kid brother to me, no lie. You know, he'd come up and spend Christmases and stuff, like, bought me my first CD player and everything. I'm thinking, oh, my baby boy, do me so.
But then he probably bought you a CD player and he bought himself a sound system.
Oh, you know that already.
Yeah.
Oh, you should check out the studio that was in his house, man. I'm saying, okay. But what did I know? It was just fun hanging out with him. It was fun working with him. You know, he worked me. But, you know, that's what, you know, the results are what you're listening to now. Mm. And it stood the test of time. So, you know, I can't moan about that, can I, really?
Okay, we need to take another break and we'll come back. It's Davey J with Jackie Graham. Colourful Radio, Sky Digital, 0194. Lorraine says I sound different on the radio because you have processors as well. I don't see how I can sound any different because I speak exactly the same way. I don't put my voice, I don't change it in any way. Mm-mm. But whatever. But like I said, by the way, she's from Birmingham, not Newcastle. Sorry, baby. And so,
oh, another Brummy.
So, which means that, I guess...
I'll meet you in Tesco's or Sainsbury's or Safeway's, anywhere you want it, Alan. Say hello to Jackie.
I guess the problem was then the amount of alcohol that we consumed over there, which got me a little twisted, baby. All right, we'll be back in a second.
I need to see you, girl, so you can talk. Colourful
Radio. We was talking about a record that's on that same CD just a second ago, and it's got the bass line from a very well-known funk record, and it's like... that just shows your innocence from them times there, because you said you didn't even know what it was.
No, I didn't, darling. You know, I mean, as much as, you know, I haven't got a clue about music, apart from what I like, what I was brought up with, you know, a bit of reggae, a bit of the soul. I had two uncles. I lived with my grandmother brought us up, you see, and I had two uncles that lived at home. One was a jazz freak and the other one was a soul freak. So R&B.
Good combination.
And, you know what I'm saying to you, darling? So all that growing up, and obviously, you know, Motown was kicking in when I was growing up, and I'd be listening to chart stuff and so on. So that's my listening and thoughts of music. I couldn't tell you, you know, who wrote who and who played on what and what. But when I then started to get in with Derek and them, they knew who played what on what track and so on. So to hear that these things were taken all... But I thought when you did that, is it plagiarism? Is that the...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is.
Listen, I just sing the song, darling. I just turn up and...
Yeah, but...
But it just had there was a great groove to it and a great, you know, mood to it. And Derek's, he's a bass player.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, for a time, in Heatwave, in the band Heatwave. Yeah. So, so he was very, very... into the music and understood about music and technology and stuff back then, even when we were only talking about reel to reel. Never mind pressing button and you know, internet, do this, that, and the other field. I haven't got a clue. But, you know, we were talking about, you know, machinery and reel, the big reels and the tapes.
Yeah, but you get a different sound out of that, but analog sound, it's actually more bassy, and more full. You need to get a really analog. Good style, you need to put both digital and analog together. If you want a really good bass sound, you need to put the sound of like that on tape and then possibly sample it back and then replay it or something like that. That's how you get that round sound.
Well, listen, I don't press no button. Let me tell you that now. I just after all these years, I've just learned about reverb and stuff like that on the microphone when you're singing down. So how sad am I? I'm because when I turn up and do anything and, you know, like I said, people have been absolutely fab and it's people that vibe me, and it's people that lift my spirits. So the fact that I've got these hits that mean something to people. So when I turn up, I'm doing, it's memories. I'm bringing memories to people and giving memories to the youngsters, because, you know, the older ones are bringing their kids along thinking, so I'm Auntie Jackie now. Remember this day when you came here, you know, you saw Auntie Jackie singing this song to you, your mommy's friend. Do you realize she was like Kylie Minogue in her day and so on? I'm thinking, was I?
So when I started to talk to Nat to try and put this together a long while back, I thought, well, I wonder what she's doing. So I went on YouTube.
Okay.
So YouTube and everything. And you do a lot of stuff like cruises and butlins and all this, just everything. You know what I mean? When did you know, or when did you decide, okay, I need to work, not going to worry about where I'm working, just, you know, because some people are like, no, I'm not doing this.
I suppose the very first time I got a call for things like butlins, I'm going, where? What is this? You know, because I hadn't got a clue of that type of resort, you know? But they do lots of soul weekends, 80s weekends, you know what I mean? And this kind of thing. And that was my introduction to Botany. So all these people come from all over the country.
This is Colourful Radio.